I think it was 2 years ago, December of 06, my brothers bought me a beginner's book for photography by Brian Peterson, and it was called Learning to See Creatively. And I just remember reading that book, and it just caught on like fire, you know what I mean? Just the interest in it. I never knew that it was going to grow like that. And that book just completely opened my eyes, literally, to seeing the world through that way, you know.
Had you not been taking photographs before that?
I was always one of those people that kept a camera around, like a cheap camera, you know, to take snapshots of things.
Mm-hmm.
And I would often be fascinated with nature or whatever was around me, but never thought, well, I need to get better at this. You know what I mean? Never, ever tried to take any step towards getting better at taking pictures. Just always like to kind of record what was going on.
So did you have a nice camera at the time that you got the book, or did you get the book first and then go out and get a nicer camera?
I had a point-and-shoot, $175 Sony or whatever at the time, and I read that book, got a few others within about 4 to 5 months, you know, realized that my interest was outgrowing my camera, you
mm-hmm.
know?
Yeah.
And so then I picked up a consumer, like an entry-level digital SLR.
Do you remember what brand or what model? Or?
Yeah, it was a Nikon D50.
How much did you pay for it? About?
I think you know it was a kit, you know, with again consumer grade lenses and everything, and the kit cost about $900, which was
at the
time was a very gutsy thing to do, you know, because that was a lot of money for me, and I did not know if the hobby was going to be worth that.
You know, before we move on down this road,
it might be
helpful to know. Can you tell us a little bit about what you were doing? I mean, what your
professionally
are?
I'm a personal trainer here in town.
Oh, okay.
Right.
All right. I didn't know Kenneth had personal trainers. We are getting very upscale.
Yeah, very upscale. No. And we stay full time, both of us. So that's a good thing.
Yeah. Well, now, are you from the area, or did you move into Kenneth? Or
I'm from Southwest Arkansas, and then I graduated from ASU.
Okay.
And then, shortly after graduating from ASU, this guy in Kenneth, who was already doing personal training, was wanting a second trainer, and he contacted the university's, you know, that department to see if there were any recent graduates, you know, that would be interested in that. So that's how I found the job here.
All right. So you pop for almost $1,000 worth of gear. At that time, what were you thinking you might do with that? Was it just to give you a greater set of tools to work with?
Yes, right. It was strictly for fun. At that time, I had no intention of ever making money with it. There were things that I saw people doing, you know, in the books that I knew I could not do without a full functioning camera. And I wanted to do that. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Yeah.
So you get a nicer camera, and, as far as the thing that caught my eye was your set of photos around the Kennett area, but I can see that you take lots of other photos. I mean, is there a subject matter that most appeals to you that you take the photos of?
Sorry, ask that again. I didn't quit.
Well, I mean, is there a particular, I mean, do you think of yourself as a landscape photographer, as a portrait, or just anything that catches your eye? Or?
Well, I would say landscape, scenic, you know. Primarily, yeah, and that is primarily what catches my eye, you know. I'm not saying I'm not interested in everything else, but I also do what's available. You know what I mean? You know, if that kind of stuff is here, you know, it's a rural area, a lot of countryside and stuff like that, so it's readily available, and so do what I can get to. You know.
You keep your camera with you all the time?
I keep it in my car.
Okay.
I don't walk around with it because it's kind of bulky. So, but I do keep it in my car.
Do you ever catch yourself walking along the street and saying, darn, I wish I had my camera?
Absolutely, yeah. And I do like, you know, you're asking about the portraiture. I do love being in a setting where it's acceptable to take candids of people
mm-hmm.
and just watch people and just wait for expressions or things to happen and stuff like that. That is a lot of fun. I don't post some of that on Flickr, so that's not necessarily seen, but I do enjoy that.
So you say you've been at this now for a little over 2 years?
Right.
What have you learned in that 2 years? I mean, now you've got good gear and you've obviously got a knack for this. What's changed in your thinking or your work with photography?
I would say Oh man, that's a wide range. Yeah, right. Yeah, I don't know.
Are you taking different kinds of pictures now than you did when you started?
Yeah. When I started, it was just the process of learning to see everything with, you know, not as we put labels on it, like, you know, that is a house or that is that and that is that, but as, you know, as the elements of design, like texture, color, shape, form, you know. And so I was interested initially in taking pictures of anything, you know, anything that I was, quote, seeing for the first time. But as the skills improved and as I found the ability and capability to capture the landscape stuff, I became more interested and have obviously gravitated towards that. I would say in the last year and a half, it's really swayed towards the landscape side of things.
I'm assuming all of your work is digital. Is that correct?
That's right. Right.
Could you talk a little bit about some of the sort of the post-processing that you do with images? I mean, you talk on your Flickr set, you'll mention that you you tweak these or modify these. Tell us a little about that.
Well, you know, it depends on. I try not to approach every photo the same. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I kind of look at it, and I'm not really emotionally attached to my photos like some artists or photographers really have that emotional connection. You know, it's not quite like that for me. But I do let each scene lend whatever I feel it lends itself to. Then I'll edit it appropriately. So sometimes, you know, I may go heavier with color or contrast. You know, that would be more than it was in real life. You know what I mean? And then sometimes I'll leave it pretty organic, just so I can show people, okay, you know, this is how great it really looked. You know what I mean?
Now, is the picture that the image that you wind up with after you've played with it, for lack of a better term, in Photoshop? And I assume you're using Photoshop.
That's right. Right.
I mean, do you wind up with an image that's more like what you sort of saw in your mind's eye at the beginning, or does the thing just evolve as you start working with it?
Both. I would say sometimes the latter. You know, you just start working with it, and then, you know, that flow just starts, and you just go with that, you know, and you end up with something that you did not expect, you know, in the beginning. But then sometimes, you know, the first thing you said about just why I saw this and I wanted to recreate it, you know, and so I'm not going to mess with it past what I saw, you know.
A lot of your images, or your scenic images, don't have people in them. In fact, I don't remember seeing any of them that had
right.
people in them. Is that by design, or does it just turn out that way?
Well, I'm usually by myself, for sure, and I'm usually in locations where there are nobody else, or there is nobody else. And then, you know, sometimes I really wish that I had a buddy that would go out shooting with me, because, you know, sometimes you really need that human element to give scale to a scene, or just to give that perspective, you know.
I don't know. I love the emptiness of the shots. I mean,
right.
The thing that really struck me was growing up down there. I mean, we're used to seeing these big long fields on a horizon. I mean, it's so flat that you can see almost the curve of the earth.
Right.
I love the emptiness of them. But I must say that I never saw those scenes as beautiful. I never said, man, that's really gorgeous. But in your photos, I'm going, wow.
Right.
I don't remember home looking that good.
Well, I appreciate that. But, you know, sometimes, and of course, you know, I'm guessing that you've taken pictures a lot throughout your life, right?
You know, no. I mean, recently when I got involved with stuff online, I started taking a bunch of photos, but never with high-grade equipment and never in the sort of realm that you're working in.
Okay.
But, I take a lot of pictures, and I keep a camera with me all the time, so.
Okay. I just think some of that, you know, for me personally, when it really started to hit, and I, you know, not to talk too much about the digital side of things, but was when I learned how to blend images together in Photoshop, and that is a lot of images will have like a very high dynamic range, you know, like looking into the sun, and you know, most people who have taken a snapshot or two know that, you know, either the sky gets washed out or the foreground's so dark you can't see anything. So your camera never get to record the beauty that you're seeing, because our eyes can take in all that, the camera can't. And so when I finally learned how to take two exposures and blend them together to create that even balance of light, that's when it really become, that's when it became fun, you know, to go out and anticipate a scene and know that I could get what will happen. You know, does that make any sense?
It does. You know, I also, as I've traveled and people will talk about, oh, look at that beautiful sunset. I don't think I've ever been anywhere that had sunsets that I thought were as beautiful as in Southeast Missouri, but I always secretly thought it was just because of all the chemicals in the air.
Yeah, it may be, but I agree. I mean, often we get great cloud formations and sunset.
And some of that may be just to the flatness of the land. You're seeing a whole lot of the sky.
That's right.
And
right.
Can you talk a little bit about the recent ice storm? We've seen, as people get back online now, we've seen a lot of photos from, you know, all across the Midwest that was hit by this thing. And, of course, everybody shows hundreds and hundreds of trees and power poles down. But in the set that you kind of pulled together, there was a much more artistic quality to it. But can you talk a little bit about just the storm itself and then maybe segue into the photos you took?
Well, the storm, yeah, it was awful, obviously. There's not many other words to describe that because, you know, it did not get, you know, publicized at all, you know, the full ramifications of what happened and the effects that are still going on because of that and the people that will be without power for another 4 or 5 weeks down here. I just remember it coming on, and it started on late on Monday night, and I remember waking up Tuesday morning very excited to get out with my camera, you know, and start taking pictures, not aware of the fact that it was going to get so severe. And as I was out taking pictures...
Now, is it still icing at the time you went out?
Yes, I was out with an umbrella, which is a bit of a chore, and just trying to get some things.
Just trying to stand up?
What's that?
Was it hard just standing up?
Oh, no. Believe it or not, the roads had not gotten cold enough. The roads never did really ice over that much.
Oh, okay.
So we lucked out. I mean, all the grass and everything, but the road stayed fairly passable, you know. And I just remember getting very frustrated and coming inside because it was continuing to ice. And around daybreak, 8 or 9 o'clock, a little bit later, everything started to come crashing down. So then you would be crazy to go out in that because it was just happening left and right, you know. So then, I don't know, Wednesday morning was great because, you know, everything had passed through, and for about 1 hour the sun came out and just made everything look just like a dream world, you know. And so I ran out as soon as I could and took as many photos as I could while the sun was shining. So
a dream world in which...
There's some evil ruler destroying everything.
Maybe a nightmare world.
That's right. No, you're right. Yeah, it's that mix. It's that mixed fascination with it, you know.
But it was pretty. I mean, I loved the shots of the basketball net
right.
From the bottom, and the one in which I suppose it was your hand to give us some sense of just how thick the ice was on these tiny little branches.
Amazing, right? Yeah. Absolutely amazing.
Well, what's next for you in terms of photography? I mean, where do you want to go with all this?
You know, I really don't think about it too much. I'm not naturally an entrepreneur, so I don't really push that side of things. I'm really fortunate to have gotten business through my clientele at work and people they know. You know, they'll go visit the site and they'll get order prints here and there. So I really don't even think about the future too much. I just, you know, as long as I feel like I'm getting better, or at least my ability to see things is improving, then I'll just keep doing it. And any money I make is gravy. You know, if I can pay for some new equipment here and there, then I'll be totally happy.
So it's just a great hobby for you.
It is a great hobby. And not to say that, you know, a client asked me a really tough question not too long ago. They just said, well, you know, if you could equal your salary that you're making doing personal training and move off and take pictures for a living, you know, in some hypothetical situation, would you move? And, you know, I had to tell them I probably would, you know, so because freelance photography is a tough thing. So that's why I'm not really gung-ho on, you know, dropping my consistent and faithful job to try to rough it as a photographer.